The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio, Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to Dorf on Sports, right here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Lots of things happening in the sports world, even though it's summertime. We got the Open Championship going on, and it's a two-man race, Lefty and Henrik Stenson. And you know what has happened since we last spoke to you? All-Star break. All-Star Game, Home Run Derby, my birthday, Jeff Rich. Good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning. First of all, happy birthday to you. Second of all, coming from across the pond, all of the food puns. That's not the top of the leaderboard, but this Andrew Johnston has reached cult hero status, if such a thing should ever exist in the sport of golf.
Yeah, I mean, look, man, it's unbelievable. Like, I find myself right now being really bored, I'll be honest with you, because it is the slow time. I'm watching Summer League hoops, man. That's how bored I am, Jeff.
Hey, you know what? My Cavaliers, they keep winning championships and they keep chasing it down. Have you seen this Jordan McRae play? What an amazing player for 15th man on a championship bench.
Yeah, pretty unbelievable stuff. It is the dog days of summer. We're just getting warmed up. He's Jeff Rich. I am the Dorf Man. It is Dorf on Sports, and you're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back, everybody.
I love the feel of the summer sun, but its heat and ultraviolet rays can punish our homes. I'm Danny Lipper with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about protecting your home from the sun right after this.
Great-looking siding boosts curb appeal. Keep the appeal going with exterior trim that looks as good and has as much character as the siding around it. Royal S4S Conceal Trim keeps seams hidden, plus its true square edge means it installs as clean as it looks. Royal Envelop by Marianne Casado cellular PVC door and window surrounds are true multitaskers, with four styles that are architecturally correct, easy to love, and easy to maintain. Learn more about Royal Trim and Moldings at royalbuildingproducts.com.
When you think about how much exposure a home has to sunlight, it's no wonder that it takes a toll. The sun's rays can make painted exterior surfaces bake and peel. Sunlight passes through windows, exposing the interior to ultraviolet rays and serious heat gain. And those UV rays fade and destroy fabrics and materials over time. For many homeowners, awnings are the perfect answer. By shading walls, windows, and patios, you can block up to 60% of the sun's heat and almost all of the damaging UV rays. The payoff is lower cooling bills, and inside fabrics and furnishings last a lot longer. There are basically two types of awnings, stationary and retractable, most of which are very reasonably priced and easy to install. And besides, the right awning can add a stylish accent to its appearance. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Pedro Fernandez here. You might know me as the host of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, but this time I'm here to talk about that four-letter word everybody dreads, pain. If you have back pain or knee pain like I do, hey, you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. I'm talking about if Medicare is your primary medical insurance, and guess what? You can qualify for a back or knee brace or a shoulder brace for little or no charge. Anything to help me with the pain, hey, it makes it more manageable, gets my attention, folks. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for your back, ankle, knee, or shoulder, guess what? Give the Health Alert Hotline a call, toll-free, 1-800-400-8255. 1-800-428-1570. 1-800-428-1570. You can qualify for a back or knee brace or a shoulder brace for little or no charge. 1-800-428-1570. The Health Alert Hotline. 1-800-428-1570.
Hey, what's up? We love Burger King grilled dogs. They're made with 100% beef, and they're 100% beef. They're so good, they make us want to sing like...
I can't believe it. Burger King made a grilled dog. Made with 100% beef. Flame grilled anytime you want. You can try it in classic or chili cheese.
Flame grilled and made with 100% beef. Starting at just $1.99. Get a grilled dog now at participating Burger King restaurants. Flame grilling hot dogs since 2016. Price and participation vary.
Osmer hits one to left. Back at the wall. This game's tied. He is a good one. In the left. Back at the wall. And gone. Salvador Perez has made it 3-1. AL.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. Some sound from the All-Star game. You know, I'm still not a big fan of how they do that, Jeff. I really am not. The winner of the game, obviously, as we know, gets home field advantage throughout the playoffs, or I'm sorry, for the World Series. And I don't know. There's just something about it that still rubs me wrong. I don't know how you feel on it, but the American League will be hosting the World Series. As you know, we know that they will have the home field advantage once again.
I just don't love it. You know, there were the comparisons during the game that Ned Yost was managing to win and Terry Collins was managing to get everybody into the game. And when the game, you know, is something that you need to win, especially in the case of the Mets, who were in the World Series last year,
yep,
and had to go play game one and two on the road in Kansas City. And, they ultimately lost that series. I won't say that it came down to who had home field and whatnot, but I definitely think that there are plenty of grievances to be had with the All-Star game, especially with all these rules in place. You know, the fans voting in 8 starters, then you have the fans vote in the last reserve, and then you have these guys that don't want to play, they don't want to go. So you don't, and the mandatory one player per team rule, or, you know, minimum one player per team rule, it just kind of spoils the exhibition that it was. By trying to make it competitive. And I don't know that it was ever that much fun for me in the first place. I always thought it was the best All-Star game of the 4 major sports just because it's so true to the game itself, unlike the Pro Bowl or the NBA All-Star game, especially the NHL All-Star game. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a nice thing to enjoy. I think that we've put too much effort into it and we've spoiled the occasion.
Yeah, I mean, I just think when you put that much stock in a game that's meaningless, let's be honest, the game is meaningless, but you're putting all kinds of stock in it for what can happen later on in the season. And let's face it, many of these guys, you know, more than half of them aren't going to be in the World Series. Well, more than half. I mean, most of them aren't going to be in the World Series. So it doesn't really affect a big percentage of these guys. However, the magnitude of the game is huge, and it's a meaningless baseball game. So I think that that's what bothers me about it is, you know, you don't see this in any other sport where this game holds that much weight for the playoffs or the postseason.
Well, you know something, the interleague play has kind of spoiled it because the All-Star game used to be the only opportunity you'd get to see a guy pitching for one team, you know, for an American League team that's not going to be in the playoffs, that's not going to win their division against a National League All-Star. That's just, you know, we see these series on a regular basis. We'll see the Texas Rangers pitching to the Pittsburgh Pirates and Andrew McCutchen. You know, we're seeing the Texas Rangers at Wrigley this weekend. So, you know, the matchups exist too often now, and it takes some of that allure away from the All-Star game itself.
Yeah, I mean, look, the bottom line is it's a very difficult thing when a game in July has huge meaning for October. I just, again, it's It's strange. It's weird. And I know I can appreciate why they made the game meaningful, because we know what happened when they had the disaster with a tie in the game. We know
how much of a disaster was that, really? I know that it was Bud Selig at Miller Park. You know, there were things going on. You know, I think that we were just revealing the perils of the PED era at that point. And, you know, Vicente Padilla was the only remaining National League pitcher in that game, and he didn't have another inning in him. Rather than getting guys hurt, they called the game. And it was bad at the time, but I don't know that it necessarily needed to be fixed, per se.
I just have never, ever witnessed a game like this, an all-star game of any magnitude, whether it's in the NBA, the NHL, the Pro Bowl, you name it, whatever it is. There's always a winner and a loser, isn't there, Jeff? Yes or no?
I mean, there should be. I think that's true of all
this
sports.
This isn't soccer, is this?
I was just gonna go there. It's funny you should bring that up, because your fill-in, Shane Koenig, and I, a week ago, we dedicated an entire segment to why we're disinterested in the sport of soccer. So we had some fun without you last week, man.
Hey, I'm sure, and I'm glad you did. To be honest with you, I was trying to be. To be honest with you, I tried to check it out. For some reason, I could not bring it up where I was. And therefore, I knew I was in good hands, and that you were in good hands, and everything was going to be just fine. Speaking of good hands, let's move on for a moment, because we're going to jump back into baseball, and we'll talk to John Poulter, a professor of sports, about that on the other side. But since we have both been on the air together, there's been a huge signing in the NBA, and we have yet to really discuss it much. And it is obviously Kevin Durant, who has chosen to go to the Golden State Warriors instead of sticking it out with OKC, which, I'll be honest with you, I absolutely have no problem with whatsoever. However, obviously, it's gone through a lot of scrutiny by people talking about the fact that, you know, don't you have pride and want to win where you were, and, you know, you've given so much there, and, you know, how do you feel like you've accomplished anything? I think the guy gave him 9 years. I think the guy gave him his heart and soul for 9 years. I think he realized that he has a better opportunity to win with Golden State than he does with Oklahoma City. But with that being said, I understand people being upset, but I really don't get why people get so attached and so emotional about things when, at the end of the day, it's Kevin Durant's decision what he wants to do with his life, just the same way it was for LeBron James and anybody else that's a free agent. Let's remember that. Free agent in the NBA.
Yeah. You know, I thought that Oklahoma City v. Golden State was basically a coin flip. Do you want to stay there and try to finish the job at Oklahoma City without Serge Ibaka, trying it a different way under Billy Donovan? They were so close just a couple of months ago to at least getting to the finals to take on LeBron and give Durant a second shot at it. I think that you look at Golden State, and credit to Golden State, this isn't Miami gutting their roster. This isn't Cleveland gutting their roster to get one guy in. This is adding a guy to an existing core that was built so organically that you can afford to make a move like this. Now, 2 years down the road, when you got to pay these 2009 rookies and 2011 rookies like Klay Thompson, when you got to give them big contracts, you're going to run into some trouble. But it might just be Joe Lacob's problem paying that luxury tax, because, you know, once a player's on the team, you have pretty much every right to keep him. Now, they got rid of a lot of players on their bench, but I think that Golden State is going to be as good or better than they were in the 15-16 season.
Well, they also picked up guys, too. Zaza Pachulia, they pick up David West. They did an all right job, if you ask me, with, you know, losing a lot of that interior defense, obviously with Bogut and Festus. But the truth is look, they're going to try to do it the way that they've done it, and they're going to try to outscore everybody, and they made it even more clear by the moves that they made to me in the offseason.
You know, it's funny you mentioned David West, because he's kind of become the Marian Hossa of the NBA. He's going to go where he thinks that, you know, he's got the best chance to win a ring. And, you know, I want to talk about it with our hockey expert, about this Shane Doan quote that's going around that's calling him the anti-David West because he likes to play hockey in the center of the suck universe when it comes to the NHL. And, of course, he's referring this Canadian guy, I want to say Blundell, is referring to our local hero Shane Doan as somebody that just enjoys losing. And I think that there's all kinds of things wrong with a statement like that.
Well, I don't think he – first of all, I think you and I both know he does not like losing. We've heard him speak many a times, but I think he's one of those guys who's just very loyal, man. And that's pretty rare to find in sports in general. And when you have a guy like this, I think it's special, to be honest with you. And I just think he truly enjoys Phoenix, and he enjoys having the uncertainty of the Phoenix Coyotes, to be honest with you. Because he's the ultimate guy and the ultimate team guy, if you ask me.
And on the back end of that, you know, I think the question with Durant is loyalty after 9 years in Oklahoma City, and to bring it all back together. You know, I think that loyalty, even with LeBron coming back to Cleveland, loyalty is for a fan is a privilege. It's not a right. You only have the right to enjoy that player for as long as his contract is with your current team. And he doesn't even have that right a lot of the time, because these owners could go out and trade a guy if they think they could bring back better assets. I know there's no trade clauses and whatnot, but I think that loyalty is something that we should reward and not discriminate when it's not there.
Agreed 100%. He's Jeff Rich. I'm the Dorfman. We got to take a quick pause for the cause. On the other side, we're going to hook up with our professor of sports, John Poulter. Keep it close. It's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24/7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices. prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Men is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. We're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Jeff Rich with me, as he is each and every week. You can get involved, 1-800-878-7529. Hit us up on Twitter, at by Jeff Rich, at Dorf on Sports. Check us out here at Sports Byline USA. We're now going to hook up with our professor of sports, none other than John Poulter. John, good morning. How are you, man?
Morning, guys. Doing very well, thanks. How about the two of you? And I know I missed a couple of birthdays this week, so a belated happy birthday to the two of you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that as always, John. And truth be told, you know, as you get older, I feel like those birthdays become less significant or meaningless. Yeah, I'm a year older. Yeah, I'm still here, but I'm that much closer to not being here as well. But I do appreciate it. I'll be honest with you, John. I do.
Yeah, as do I. Thanks, John. You know, it was just a Monday night out for me. It was just a regular night with perhaps a few more drinks on the menu.
Yeah, and me, I just did pretty much the normal thing, too. I worked out like a maniac, played tennis with my buddies for 6 hours, went out for dinner with my girlfriend. Pretty average day, like you're saying, Jeff. But it was a good day, but there's many of those days that aren't so good. And speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about the All-Star game and the break and everything. First and foremost, John, in your opinion, what did you think of all of the All-Star festivities?
Well, I think it's getting to be a little too much, quite frankly. I caught the earlier discussion that the two of you had on the All-Star game, and I echo a lot of those sentiments, specifically the one about the fact that the All-Star game in baseball doesn't mean anything close to what it used to mean. I'm a little older than you guys are, so I go back a little bit further in terms of the fun of the All-Star game and it being the only opportunity to see National League stars playing American League stars. I just think it's got to the point now with interleague play and all these issues of every team having to be represented and some guys not wanting to go and some guys not being eligible to pitch because they pitched on the weekend, and the rationale behind trying to win the game. Do you try to win it or do you try to get everybody in, as Jeff alluded to, with the two different philosophies from the two opposing managers? I just kind of think it's become more of a TV thing now as opposed to a game. And I mean, this goes back to the whole issue of interleague play, and looking at it from a Toronto standpoint, and this is probably the best example of how I believe that interleague play has ruined the game. Toronto and Detroit are about a four-hour drive away, and for many, many years, Toronto and Detroit were two of the teams in the American League East when there was only two divisions in each league. Now that the Tigers are in the Central and the Blue Jays are in the East, this is how stupid the whole schedule has got. We play more games, or Toronto plays more games, or as many games against the Philadelphia Phillies over the course of a regular season as they do against the Detroit Tigers. That, to me, is just insane. That is almost akin to the Green Bay Packers playing the Miami Dolphins more times than they play the Chicago Bears. I mean, it's just wrong. We play too many games in Major League Baseball. I think interleague play is perhaps the biggest contributor to that. I'd like to see it changed, and it's made the All-Star game a lot less interesting than it used to be. And I guess the other piece of that is the fact that with all of the cable stations that we now all have the opportunity to get, and the MLB Network and all of the games that are televised, we do get to see the quote, opposing league a lot more than we did as kids. So it's a whole different thing. You know, these guys now, I don't think they have the pride in the game that they used to, and that's just a change in the culture. And unfortunately, to Jeff's point, baseball used to be the best of the All-Star games because it was the most like the regular game, and I think it still is. But it's drifting the wrong way, in my opinion.
Hey, John, did you catch any of the Home Run Derby, the new format with the clock rather than counting swings as outs?
I didn't see much of it this year, Jeff. I was out on Monday evening, but I believe they started that last year, and I think it's better than what they used to have, but I still think it's a gimmick, and I think it's kind of like the shootout in hockey. It's one of those things that is a gimmick, and it's kind of past its best day, and I guess all they're trying to do is sell extra tickets, but to me it's not baseball. You know, it's kind of like having a field goal kicking contest before the Pro Bowl, or a free throw contest before the NBA All-Star Game.
I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'd love to see a day before the Pro Bowl nutcracker drill, but you know, never see that happen.
Keep dreaming, my friend. Keep dreaming.
John, let me ask you this. Obviously, we're all somewhat on the same page about this, and I'm going to go back to this. It's something that Jeff and I were talking about a little bit earlier, too. A lot of the significance of this game, we all know, has to do with, in my humble opinion, which was a disaster when they had a tie, because it's not soccer, and in any other sport, you have a winner and a loser. I guess my question is are they regretting the whole deal with the way that Bud Selig handled that in the first place, and then the improvements, or at least what they thought they were making improvements? I don't necessarily think it's worked out in general as far as the importance and the significance of this game. Again, All-Star games are a display of the best in the game, and in this case, a representative from every single team. You don't necessarily have to have that in the NBA or other sports, but with that being said, I just feel like you said, they've ruined this more than they've made it better.
Oh, I agree. I mean, whether you like ties or not, the baseball All-Star game, as are all All-Star games, are sort of items unto themselves. They're unique to start with. So is there really anything wrong with a tie after 11 innings or 12 innings for the rationale that Selig made the decision? I mean, I know it was very unpopular, but is this really any different if we look at the All-Star game as a meaningless exhibition game, which is really what it is? Is it really any different than a meaningless spring training game where they call it after 10 innings because the visiting team has not brought all of its young guys with them and they don't have pitchers? I mean, is it really any different? We've got to see the stars for 9, 10, 11, maybe put a limit on it of 12 innings and say, hey, if at the end of 12 innings, if we're tied, let's go home. I guess the other thing they could do is for the All-Star game, allow re-entry, and that being if a guy has pitched an inning earlier, you know, do you maybe want to bring him back for another inning? I guess that would sort of be a little bit of an issue in terms of a pitcher's arm cooling down and out of the game and coming back. It would be like a rain delay, and it just probably would be detrimental to a pitcher's health.
Let's also remember that the determination for the World Series prior to 2003 was really not much better. It was just random. It was an every other year thing. And I think now that we've got interleague play, now I think the records are more true to form. I think we could do it like the NHL or the NBA does it, just say best overall record between the two World Series teams gets home field advantage. I think that just makes too much sense.
Yep, I agree 100%. And the fact that it makes too much sense, Jeff, is probably the reason that they don't do it. To me, it's a team game. You and Shane and I had this discussion last week when Andy was away. We all agreed it's a team game. It's home field advantage should be determined by the strength of the team. Now, last year it worked out okay. The American League had the extra game. Kansas City won 95 games. I think the Mets won 90. So Kansas City had home field advantage anyway, which they had earned as a team. Sometimes it works out. Other times it doesn't. I just think it's wrong. And to go back on a comment that I've made a couple of times before, the whole system is flawed because with one player from every team having to be in the game, you could conceivably have a player contribute to his team or his league winning the All-Star game. He gets traded on the 31st of July. He goes to the other league. He ends up in the World Series. Through his own efforts in a meaningless game in July, he's hurt his new postseason team in October. To me, the whole thing is flawed.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, I'm going to go back to something you just said here, which was about records, and it kind of makes the whole season not meaningless, but less meaningful for a team that goes out and has a great season. They win the most games, but yet if they lose their the American League or the National League, whichever one, loses that All-Star game, well, you're not getting rewarded for having a great season. I just think there's too much riding on an All-Star game in the middle of the season when all these guys have worked their butts off all season long to have the best record in the league. So
exactly. I mean, why don't we go back to looking, if we're going to do something this silly, why don't we go back to spring training records where every team has played 30 or 35 games and say the two teams in the World Series, whoever had the best record in spring training gets the extra home game, and that's just as meaningless because 90% of the spring training games involve guys that never made the 25-man roster anyway. That's just as silly.
Well, if we do Cactus League versus Grapefruit League champion before opening day, you know, if both of those teams are American League teams, we put, you know, we put that game in an American League park for Game 7 of the World Series. What do you think, John?
Well, it's no sillier than what we have now, Jeff.
Hey, I hear that music means we got to take a quick pause for the cause. Do you have a couple more minutes to spend with us on the other side, John?
Sure. I know you'd like to talk about this this Shane Doan thing. So, yeah, I'd look forward to that.
That, and I want to ask you some thoughts about, you know, it's the second half of the season and whatnot. So keep it close. We're going to hold on to John Poulter. He's going to come back with us on the other side. Keep it close. It is Dorf on Sports. Jeff Rich, Dorfman, John Poulter. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back, everybody.
Summertime increases in showers sent your water bill through the roof. I'm Danny Lipker with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about how to enjoy those showers without breaking the bank right after this.
Great looking siding boosts curb appeal. Keep the appeal going with exterior trim that looks as good and has as much character as the siding around it. Royal S4S Conceal Trim keeps seams hidden, plus its true square edge means it installs as clean as it looks. Royal Envelope by Marianne Cusato cellular PVC door and window surrounds are true multitaskers, with four styles that are architecturally correct, easy to love, and easy to maintain. Learn more about Royal Trim and Moldings at royalbuildingproducts.com.
In the United States, showers account for 22% of each individual water use, so saving here is important. The solution, low-flow shower heads. In recent years, these things have greatly improved in their performance, so there's no excuse for not using them. In fact, some of them are so good, you may not even know if you have one. So before you start spending money, do the simple test. Put a 2-quart saucepan on the floor of the shower in the center of the shower stream. Then turn the shower on at full force and count how many seconds it takes to fill the pan. If it's less than 12, you need a low-flow shower head. If 12 or more, you're in great shape. The new models cost anywhere from $8 to $50, depending on the style, features, and manufacturer. I'm Danny Lipper with tips for today's homeowner.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you've tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
I love iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio.
Love it.
Everywhere, man. Seriously.
Everywhere, man.
20 million songs from 450,000 artists. iHeartRadio.
Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota.
I create my own radio stations.
iHeartRadio. Millions of songs, thousands of stations, one free app. iHeartRadio is that easy. Download the app today or listen online at iHeartRadio.com.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Hanging out with Jeff Rich. And we are lucky enough to be joined by our professor of sports, none other than John Poulter. Go ahead. Well, actually, let's wait on that Shane Doan thing, because I just want to ask you a couple questions, John, about maybe some potential things that may or may not happen in the second half of the season. Let's start in the American League East. Looks like we've got ourselves a three-team race. The Yankees, obviously, on the outside. Tampa Bay, done for sure. But looks like we have ourselves a three-team race. And obviously, you're pulling for the Blue Jays. But ultimately, who do you think gets it done?
Well, I think a lot of that's going to be decided over what moves each of those teams make between now and the July 31st non-waiver trade deadline. And Boston started the ball rolling on that this week, picking up Pomerantz from San Diego, which was a pretty significant move in my mind, because I don't think too many of us even thought that he was on the trade market. And I was a little bit surprised, given his record, that San Diego traded him. But obviously, we're now in a situation where Boston has made a move, and Baltimore and Toronto probably need to counter in some way, and whether that's adding a starter to offset Pomerantz, or whether it's adding somebody to the back end of the bullpen or the middle of the bullpen or a hitter is questionable. I think what kind of would bother me if I was a Baltimore fan is that they've been doing it with the back end of the bullpen, and they've been doing it with hitting and a great home record. They have the best home record in the majors at 33-14. Baltimore's starting pitching, to me, is a little weak. It's average at best. Boston, you never really know what you're going to get there. I think they're probably very disappointed in David Price. If Price ever gets his act together and becomes the David Price that we've known over the last 8 or 10 years in the major leagues, I think Boston could be very dangerous given the number of runs they score. Toronto, you just never know what team is going to show up. I get terribly frustrated when I see them play so good and win sort of 12 out of 15, go into the All-Star game on a high, and then they start off the second half, the second part of the season in Oakland, which is a cavernous ballpark, and it seems like the whole pitching staff has been out feeding their gopher, giving up home runs. So you never really know which team is going to show up there. So, yeah, that's going to be a very, very tight three-game race, I think, and whatever happens between now and July 31st may be the difference makers.
John, we don't talk about last place teams a lot, but while we're in the American League East, I looked at the scroller the other day, and I just couldn't believe my eyes when I saw that Chris Archer, the ace for the Tampa Bay Rays, the team that the Cleveland Indians and the Chicago Cubs were both going to regret trading forever, and he's 4-13 this year. He's their opening day starter. What's going on with Chris Archer, Kevin Cash, and the Tampa Bay Rays?
Don't know what's going on with Archer. He started off very badly. In fact, I think he finished off last year very badly when I looked at it over the start of the first month of this season. I think there's something wrong there health-wise, but it hasn't been said. And if there is something wrong there health-wise, given where Tampa Bay is in the standings, I'm not really sure why they haven't shut him down and or got the problem resolved. But clearly there's something wrong there. I can't believe that it's mechanics or anything along those lines, because, you know, in Jim Hickey, they have probably one of the best pitching coaches in the game, and if there's something there mechanically that needs to be fixed, I got to believe that Hickey's one of the best guys to fix it. So personally, I think it's a bit of an injury problem or something along those lines, but why they continue to push forward with him if he is hurt, I'm not sure, because he's a priceless commodity in terms of Tampa's future.
Hey, just a quick one about the Yankees. Is it kind of good to see these guys struggle?
Well, as a Blue Jay fan, yeah, you bet. As a baseball fan, I think, you know, most people would probably take the stance that, you know, if you're not a Yankee fan, you have two favorite teams, and that's the team that you support and any team that's playing the Yankees. Yeah, it's nice to see somebody else win. You know, big city, lots of money, always going out and solving a problem by writing a check, all of those World Series and the history of the game. Yeah, I think most people that are not Yankee fans probably sit back and enjoy it.
Another three-team race in the Central in the American League with the Indians, obviously the front runners right now. Detroit, 6.5 behind. Kansas City, 7 behind. They're in it. They're not going anywhere. But You know what? I just have a weird feeling. Jeff is going to like what I'm going to say here, but I just have a weird feeling that it's just kind of a Cleveland year. You know, obviously LeBron James and the Cavs get it done. Cleveland last year made that great push, the Indians I'm talking about, for the postseason and whatnot, and then kind of had a little bit of disappointment. Maybe they've learned a little bit. Maybe they've figured it out, and maybe it's just a Cleveland kind of year this year.
Don't disagree. Tigers and the Royals are 6.5 and 7 back, respectively, and the White Sox are kind of hanging in there. If you think the Royals are in it at 7 back, you got to say the White Sox are in it at 8. But quite frankly, Detroit and Kansas City both been terribly inconsistent this year. I don't think that if they may give the Indians a push, but if the Indians continue to play the way that we've seen them play and get that pitching that they've been getting, I think Jeff's going to be a happy man at the end of the season.
I think it's completely possible. I have some concerns about that bullpen. You know, lots of teams are going to be in the market for extra arms in relief. Who's out there? Who do you think can be acquired at the deadline, or perhaps even with a post waiver wire deal?
Interesting question. I'd have to kind of look at the contract situation to make a stab at that, Jeff. I guess I could talk in generalities and say the obvious candidates on teams that are out of it, such as the Diamondbacks, the Angels, the Oakland Athletics, the Twins, the Braves, the Phillies. They may be looking to unload contracts, but I think a lot of it is going to be reactionary. As we talked earlier with the American League East, the first team in that division that makes a move, I think the other two will probably have to make a counter move.
That's a great point. Hey, let's keep it going, and now let's move to the West, where the Rangers have a 4.5 game lead over, and I got to give you some credit here. You said, before Houston got it going, you said that they were going to get it going, and they obviously have. I think at the time they were 6, 7, 8 games under 500. Now they're 7 games over 500, only 4.5 back. You got Seattle at 7.5 back. Oakland, a disappointment, obviously. The Angels, a huge disappointment as far as what they've done. But once again, another potential 3-team race here in the West. Who do you think gets out of this one?
I think Houston comes out of it. I just don't think that Texas is going to continue to play the way that we saw them play for, I don't know, what was it, the first 40 games or so. It's starting in June. It's just unbelievable the way that Texas has kind of fallen apart a little bit, and Houston has picked it up. We kind of expected that they would pick it up, and you know, you go back to the 1st of June, and the first 26 games after the 1st of June, the Rangers were 20-6. Subsequently, in the last 14, they're 3-11. They've gone from plus 33 to minus 50 in terms of run differential, and their ERA has gone from 3.94 in those first 26 games to 7.13 in their last 14 games. I got to think Texas is in trouble. Houston is coming. I still think Houston has a real good chance to catch them.
I don't disagree with you.
Hey, John, let me throw some numbers at you, though. Against Seattle, the Rangers are 8-4. Against the Astros, they're 9-1 as it stands. So if you look at that 3-team race, play a lot of head-to-head games in divisional play, I got to have a little more faith in the Texas Rangers hanging on, just given what we've seen so far in 2016.
Well, you may be right, Jeff, but personally I think Houston is a better team top to bottom. I think it's a more consistent team, and I think they came to the realization at the end of April that, hey, we're a much better ball club than this. What are we going to do to fix this problem? And I think they've done a good job in fixing it.
Let's keep it going, fellas, because we only got a few minutes left in the segment, John. In the National League, it's a little bit easier, to be honest with you, because we don't have to talk about 3 or 4 teams in each division, because it's usually 1 or 2 teams that are going to be pushing for things here. For instance, the Nationals atop that division right now, the East in the National League, the Mets and the Marlins both 7 games back. And I think the bigger story here, in all honesty, we all expected the Nationals to be pretty darn good. But the Marlins, to be in it this long, I think is the biggest surprise of all, John.
Yeah, it surprised me a lot, especially since Stanton hasn't been playing spectacularly well, and Fernandez took a while to get going. Interesting thing in the National League East, guys, is that the if you take a look at the entire Major League Baseball picture, the four teams that have scored the four fewest runs are the Braves, the Phillies, the Marlins, and the Mets. So it's a division where there's not a lot of offense. Washington is 20 games over 500. I got to think, unless the Mets or the Marlins make a super run, I got to think the Nationals probably are okay there.
Agree 100%. Let's keep it moving real quickly. Chicago, obviously atop the Central, but they've come down to earth, let's be honest there, too. St. Louis, only eight games behind at this point. And with the way that Chicago, the Cubs got out of the gate, I think that that's somewhat of a win for the St. Louis Cardinals. Pittsburgh, 9.5 back, probably out of it. We know the rest of the division is definitely out of it, but this is a two-team race, John.
It is. I think what's going to help the Cubs is that the Cardinals and the Pirates may spend a lot of the rest of the season beating up on each other. Two things very un-Cardinal-like. Cardinals having a terrible year fielding-wise. They're down at the bottom. And the Cardinals at home, believe it or not, are 7 games under 500. On the road, they're 11 games over 500. Not sure what that tells us. A team should be better at home than on the road.
Yeah. John, in the West, the Giants lead the Dodgers by about 5.5 games, which, you know, is a pretty significant midseason lead in the division, being that it is a marathon and not a sprint. But at some point, do you think the Dodgers look at their comfortable lead in the first spot in that wild card race and say, okay, you know, we could get into the tournament. We don't need to catch San Francisco. We can just relax and play our game. And at the end of the day, do you think the Dodgers are in that top five in the National League?
Yeah, I think they're in the top five. I don't know whether they want to take the risk of the one-game playoff. That's always very dangerous territory. But I think the Dodgers' main concern right now is getting Kershaw healthy. If they don't get Kershaw healthy, I think the Dodgers could fall out of that race pretty darn quickly.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting when you look at it. The Cubs were the team in the beginning of the year, and everybody's hemming and hawing about how good they are, and they're going to win 120 games. The Giants are the best team in the league right now.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, I hate to pat myself on the back, but if we go back to our early discussions in April, I think I said the Giants were the best team in the National League, and I thought the Astros were the best team in the American League. So far, I'm still in the game.
No, you definitely had it nailed, and we all obviously had an opportunity to see the Giants do things as they do in even years. Jeff, I know you want to ask him about the Shane Doan thing. Can we do that with you on the other side, John, because we're up against a break here, and we'll just keep you for the remainder of the hour if you don't mind. Is that cool?
No problem at all.
Sounds great. Good deal. A lot of good stuff from John Poulter, professor of sports today, breaking down what's going on in Major League Baseball with every single division and kind of giving us his idea of what could happen here in the second half of the season. And obviously we broke down the All-Star game, but we do want to get that Shane Doan thing in here on the other side. So keep it close. Jeff Rich, John Poulter, and the Dorf Man is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Attention! If you're in the market for a power scooter to reclaim your freedom, we have great news. Hartway, one of the world's leading manufacturers, has new factory direct power scooters for as little as $39 a month. Now you can stay active and have the freedom that a power scooter can give you. For over 20 years, we've been building the best and most reliable power scooters in the marketplace. And now with our new direct-to-consumer division, we can offer you wholesale prices. Plus, with Hardway Care Service, you are always protected. You will not find a better power scooter for as little as $39 a month anywhere. And with free shipping, if you call today, you can have a new power scooter delivered to your door for free in days. Financing is easy with your credit card or PayPal credit. Call now. 1-800-427-0183. 1-800-427-0183. That's 1-800-427-0183. 1-800-427-0183.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Jeff Rich with me, as he is each and every week. We're just wrapping up here with our professor of sports, John Poulter. Jeff, go ahead and ask John about Shane Doan. I know you have something to read, and then obviously ask him the question.
This is from Toronto Sportsnet's Dean Blundell, and he says, have you ever in your life seen a guy in any professional sport that likes losing as much as Shane Doan? I don't know that there's another man that's been as good as he's been in his sport that's been just not okay with sucking, but looked forward to it, preferred it, took pay cuts to do it, and is staying and finishing his career in a place he knows he can't win. John, your reaction to this, you know Shane Doan, and you might know this Toronto market that he speaks to.
Yeah, I guess I can sum it up in one very short sentence, Jeff. We're talking about Dean Blundell, guy I got absolutely no respect for. He's the morning man at Fan 590, which is one of the main sports all sports talk shows in Canada. Probably the biggest listening audience in the city of Toronto in terms of the morning sports show. Guy with a very checkered past. I guess the best way to describe him is to say that he is a shock jock. He was sued back in 2009 by the mayor of one of the Toronto suburbs after reportedly calling her a fraudster. He's been criticized for some nasty comments about people's sexual orientations, violence against women. What else can I say about him?
Take him with a grain of salt.
I mean, he suggested that a hockey player who died accidentally perhaps had died by suicide because that was better than living in the city of Edmonton.
Just a bad apple.
I don't like the man. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Shane Doan to me is a class individual. He's put family and lifestyle ahead of winning and money, and I don't think there's anybody that would argue with that. I think that's commendable on Doan's part.
Hey, appreciate your time as always, John. We're up against it, obviously. Have a great week. We'll catch up next week.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. I'll be on the road next week, but I'll let you know where I am so that when we chat, I will be somewhere in eastern Canada.
Sounds good. Keep it close. Hour number one in the books. John Poulter, Jeff Rich, Dorfman, it's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.